Hare Krishna. Yesterday evening we had a meeting of Krishna Valley's Brahmins in the temple room, in which Astasaki Devidasi, who's the head pujari, wanted to thank everyone's participation. We had about 60 Brahmins who render either full-time or part-time service. Obviously most of them are doing part-time service. And they asked me to talk about the importance of worshipping Radha Shyama Sundar, so I thought I would just continue that in a more general way, the importance of worshipping deities, temple deities, home deities, but particularly temple deities for those devotees who are living in the vicinity of temples. One of the first things that Srila Prabhupada really did when he actually had began to open temples is to install deities in those temples. Although New York Temple was the first temple, as soon as San Francisco Temple opened and Lord Jagannath came in a sort of small form, Srila Prabhupada then took that as a sign and asked Shyamasundara Prabhu to carve large Jagannath deities, and hence started the Jagannath, the worship of Lord Jagannath. And then later on in 1969, the Radhalan and Ishwara were installed in London, of course. And over the next years that Srila Prabhupada was with us, Prabhupada installed deities, either Radha Krishna or Gornitai, along with Jagannath, in many, most of the temples of his society. Why? Because deity worship is such an important aspect of a sadhaka's life. Although in Srimad Bhagavatam it says Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer, that the Yuga Dharma is Sankirtan, is chanting Krishna's names. And by chanting Krishna's holy names without offense, one quickly achieves pure, the stage of pure chanting, the stage of chanting with love. By being able to chant with love, one qualifies oneself for Krishna's direct service, to be able to go back home, back to Godhead. And that is the Yuga Dharma, that is the way of attaining perfection. However, the problem which Srila Prabhupada himself points out in Chaitanya Charitamrita is that for most part, devotees don't chant without offense. They chant with offense, and that's obvious when devotees come to Krishna consciousness. That should not be the case after 10, 15 years, maybe sooner, maybe later. But certainly, devotees who first come, unless they're exceptional persons, they chant with offense. And that offensive chanting becomes, in itself, creates further obstacles to chanting without offense, to pure chanting. So Srila Prabhupada therefore wanted all facilities to be available for devotees to quickly come to the offenseless stage, and therefore he installed deities. Now sometimes when sort of express this, it troubles me, because it sounds like deities are some type of facility, there's some type of a mechanism, or they're like some kind of a means to an end. And that's not really the case. We see that the Lord's eternally liberated associates, when they come to this world, although they're certainly chanting without offense and their devotional service is pure and saturated with love, still they hanker to worship deities. All of our acharyas worship deities: Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. Everyone worships deities. So deity worship is not just for neophytes. Deity worship is for others. We often hear that statement. Srila Prabhupada makes the statement that the worship of deities in the temple is for neophytes. Srila Goswami gives elaboration on this point. He says that it doesn't mean that it's only for neophytes. He says that it's even for neophytes. In other words, even neophytes can worship the deity form of the Lord. And what is like with the holy name, very extraordinary about deity worship, is that Avinatman Namanamino. The deities are directly Krishna. And just like the holy name is directly Krishna. And like the holy name gives us a facility there with our tongues and deities with all of our senses to directly approach the Lord and to serve them in our conditioned state. And the activities, these two activities, Nam Sankirtan and deity worship, which sometimes we call puja, sometimes we call archana. I prefer to call it seva, service. Puja, archana, these are sort of ritualistic, obligatory activities. But seva is an eternal activity. Service is something that's eternal. In the spiritual world, what do the eternal associates of the Lord do? They directly serve Krishna. Or when they're not directly serving Krishna, then they're hearing and chanting about him. So they do seva, and they do nam sankirtan, and hear about Krishna. These are the activities that go on in the spiritual world. And we have this opportunity to perform these activities as conditioned souls here in the material world, and this is the special grace of the Lord in order to actually qualify us to perform those activities perfectly in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, there's no room for, just like at the end of worshiping deities, then devotees will chant mantra, om mantra hinam bhaktivinoda, asking for forgiveness of offenses. They don't commit offenses. They're not practitioners. They're perfected. They do everything perfectly. In the spiritual world, you don't go there to practice. You have to learn. And where are the places that we learn how to do seva? We learn here in the material world as practicing devotees. And when we become perfected, then as perfected devotees, we go to that place in the spiritual world where Krishna has, in the material world, excuse me, where Krishna has appeared. And there, we learn all the detailed arts that only actually perfected devotees or devotees with love for Krishna can do. You may have love for Krishna, but still you have to learn. In the material world, that practice, that learning goes on. You learn from the eternally liberated associates. And what is it that we learn? Those same type of activities that we have the opportunity to perform now. So yes, the worship of the deity form of the Lord helps us to purify us and helps us to actually elevate ourselves and free us from offenses. But actually it gives us the opportunity of experiencing, getting that taste of Krishna consciousness that's going on in some part of the material creation where Krishna is right now. Krishna's associates are practicing the same thing that's going on in the spiritual world. And for that reason, Srila Prabhupada said the pujari is most fortunate. One just has to be aware of one's good fortune. And so we should also be aware of our good fortune. And therefore, when we talk about Krishna as devotees, we should make it more than just Krishna is a theoretical person or that we're the servants of Krishna. Our business is to actually really serve Krishna. And no doubt, devotees serve Krishna in different ways, by preaching, by managing, by all kinds of other activities. But we should not fail to serve Krishna directly, because this is where all of these services are meant to lead us to, direct service to the Lord. And in order to have a taste for that, then, and in order to actually propel us forward, because if we're not propelled forward, then what will happen is that the lack of taste that comes from offensive devotional service may, again, inspire us or keep us in such a weak enough condition that we succumb to the wolves of the material energy. We need to, Srila Prabhupada also, in Srimad Bhagavatam, points out that devotees need to quickly get off the platform of third-class devotees, because it's a very unsafe situation. And to help us develop our real attachment and attraction to devotional activities and to Krishna himself, then deity worship is such an essential thing. And it's something that everyone can experience. When you walk on the altar, it's different. It's different than being in the temple room and looking at the deities. It's a different feeling. You can directly feel Krishna is here. Krishna is physically present. When we do some service, when we offer aarti, when we cook an offering, when we're dressing the deities and bathing them, and so many other wonderful activities that we have the opportunity to do, then we get a taste, get a feeling, as with other types of devotional activities, especially, for instance, chanting Hare Krishna and preaching and distributing books, that other activities don't replace. Everything has its unique taste. And all of these unique tastes are meant to increase our aspiration and our desire for it. So, such an important thing, deity worship. And because it's so important, because Krishna is directly here. Krishna has come to us. Deity, he's not a deity. He's directly Krishna. He's directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the same way that we see a difference between Krishna's name and think that it's a word, than Krishna, similarly we think that the deity of the Lord, or in his deity form, is also made of marble and so on, but actually he's directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's come to us and giving us this very extraordinary opportunity. We should take that opportunity, and that will then protect us from all types of enticements of the material energy. As I spoke about earlier, unless we do get that param dushpanivartante, unless we get that higher taste, unless we actually experience the bliss of serving Krishna, then we get interested in Avatar and Matrix and movies and other things, and we become something else other than what we want to be. So let's keep in mind, the other day, or yesterday, it was when we were just reading, I was reading a quote that's in the book. Srila Prabhupada talked about the worship of the deity, and he's saying Shringar, just like we say Shringir, Shringaramandir Marjanado. He said Shringar, so Shringar means that you dress the deity beautifully, you dress Krishna. Once, twice, four dresses a day. He says, why four? Why not more? But Srila Prabhupada is saying that we should have four new dresses for the deities every day. This is the extent of daily worship. This is what it's meant to be. This is what service to Krishna is meant to be. Stay absorbed 24 hours a day. And by staying absorbed in Krishna's name, and staying absorbed in Krishna's forms and pastimes, then one awakens one's dormant Krishna consciousness, and Krishna consciousness then becomes such a pleasure, as Prabhupada would often quote Yamunacharya, that I spit at the thought of sense gratification. Then the idea of such things, so on, allurements that we see from the material energy, we think them to be, in Prabhupada's words, detestable. And that shelter, that taste, that helps us really propel us forward to the spiritual world, because this place is not a place for gentlemen.